Now back to the debacle that was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers road game to New Orleans. There are two people who I have in my crossfires this morning. And one of them's Josh Freeman. And the other one is Mark Dominic. And as the show progresses, I will explain to you why I have identified those two members of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization as the reason that the team is mediocre at best. And we are at the halfway point. We have a 4-4 record. Our schedule gets much tougher when you look at what we have remaining for the 8 games of the season. If you guys would like to hit the show up today, 888-404-1010, 727-579-1010. Text into the show at 440-1010. You guys can follow me on Twitter, be a member of the congregation. It's at Real Sean King. Now, let me just say this. For those of you that do not know, it is the responsibility of the general manager to put together a collection of talent that's capable of winning at the National Football League level on a week-in and week-out basis. That's Mark Dominic's job, is to collect talent that can win at the highest levels on a week-in and week-out basis. I'm going to ask you guys a question. Who are you really mad at that had a Bucs uniform on yesterday? I mean, not mad at anybody, because when you look at what their actual ability level is, who am I mad at? Am I mad at Roy Miller and Brian Price? Absolutely not. I'm mad at Mark Dominic because we go into a game, a conference game on the road, and we have a defensive tackle rotation that only has 3 bodies. So when Gerald McCoy gets hurt, and he's going to get hurt, and right now Gerald McCoy absolutely stinks. If he never plays another game of football, he has 4 sacks in 18 games. So he's averaging 0.2 sacks a game as the number 3 pick in the draft. He has 39 tackles in 18 games. So right now, this is what we've gotten from Gerald McCoy: 2.2 tackles and 0.2 sacks a game. So when he goes down, we have 2 defensive linemen because Frank Oakham is not available for the rest of the game. So before you call in and tell me that we couldn't stop the run, and gosh knows we couldn't stop the run, 7 yards per carry is what the Saints average, 7 yards per carry. But don't be mad at the guys. Get mad at Dominic. How do you go into a game and your defensive tackle rotation is 2 guys after 1 injury? Brian Price and Roy Miller are now forced to play every snap.
And Price isn't even healthy. He's not 100%.
So I'm going back to the guy that's accumulating and creating the talent that's on the roster. I know you guys are going to blame Raheem Morris. I can hear it now. Oh, coach has got to coach better. Give him something to work with. You're asking him to make lemonade and not giving him lemons or sugar. They're never going to stop the run. We have a collection of linebackers. Now, granted, Mason Foster made a couple hits, but outside of Mason Foster, we are below average at every other linebacker spot. Daquan Bowers, who everybody thought was a great, great steal for the Bucs because he dropped, he's playing like he should have dropped another couple rounds. Adrian Claiborne, he's showing flashes, but he's young. I love Rondé Barber to death. He made a great play on an interception. But at this point in his career, Rondé can't get off of blocks. I mean, how does a team throw a screen pass and we have 1 defender that's in the screen at any point? This goes back to Mark Dominic. Craig Lumpkin is what we're trying out there. It's his job to collect talent. I'm going to go through. After I break down what actually happened in the game, I'm going to go back to the 2009 draft, and I'm going to give you guys the name of every draft pick. And the one thing, when you start talking about youngery and using these kind of terms is like things that we're going to rally behind, when you start saying we're going to build through the draft, we're going to build with a youth movement. Now, these guys got to play, and you got to go out and get guys that can produce. Right now, from a talent standpoint, we stink. I told you guys before the season when I said I thought we were going to be 7-9, we didn't have dynamic playmakers on offense. You believe me now? When Darren Sproles gets the ball and you see that little jitterbug, you see that athleticism, tell me one guy on our team who makes you feel like that when he gets the football.
Josh Johnson.
And we're going to get to that too. Now, the other guy that's right in my bullseye right now is Josh Freeman. Let me explain something to you guys right now. The National Football League, I don't know how much you actually watch the game outside of the Bucs. It's a quarterback league. The way this team is built, Josh Freeman right now has to play like an elite quarterback for us to have an opportunity to be successful. And I'm going to just be honest with you. Right now, Josh Freeman stinks. I saw a guy yesterday who's concerned about his statistics. I saw a guy who was making sure I don't throw any interceptions. Did he throw a pass that was further than 6-7 yards down the field? Oh, he had the one where they blew the coverage and he threw it to Briscoe up the sideline. Outside of that, we're down 11 points with under a minute left. And what, we throw four checkdowns? Let's start at the beginning of the game. Okay, we're first quarter of the game. It's a 0-0 game. It's our second series. We drive down. We've had some success running the football. Granted, we're on the road against a division opponent. We have a 4th-and-1 on the New Orleans Saints 29-yard line. Now, this one, as I'm putting back on Raheem Morris, 10 out of 10 times you have to kick the field goal. You're on the road. It's a 0-0 game. You have to take the points. Especially when short yardage has been an Achilles heel of this football team over the last 2 years. They have not been good at converting those kind of situations. That's where I felt like the first mistake was made. 0-0 game on the Saints 29-yard line. We have a good field goal kicker. We have to kick the field goal.
And I absolutely agree with you, Sean. The one thing I'd like to add to that is LeGarrette Blount had just ripped off four consecutive runs where he was just gashing the Saints. Then all of a sudden, the offense tried to get a little cute. Keep giving him the ball. The Saints have shown an inability to stop the run at times, and they were doing it right there at the beginning of the game. LeGarrette Blount ripped off a couple nice runs, and all of a sudden, the offense tries to get cute. You're 100% right. Then you get to the 4th-and-1 situation, and you got to take the points. You got to take the points in that situation.
So to me, that one goes to Raheem. And then what even magnifies the problem is we call a play on 4th-and-1, and Ted Larson, who our left guard, he's pulling on the play. So I don't know if you guys actually understand football, how it works. The left guard pulls on the play. The Saints get penetration. They run into Ted Larson. Ted Larson gets bumped back into LeGarrette Blount. So I know a lot of people are going to criticize Blount for that run. He didn't have a chance. If you're going to go for it on 4th down, then let's just go right ahead. Let's go downhill. Let's half for a hat. Let's try and pick up the yard. I didn't even like the call. I thought we should have kicked the field goal. All right, we find a way to stay in the game. All of a sudden, we're in the second quarter. We're down 7-0. We have a 3rd-and-7. We're on the New Orleans Saints 41-yard line. Kellen Winslow, who's supposed to be our Pro Bowl caliber pass catcher, does one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. He has Roman Harper, the Saints safety, matched up one-on-one. We have the exact coverage that we need. Has an opportunity to run an out route. So what does Winslow do at the top of the route? He takes both of his hands, extends them all the way out, and pushes Roman Harper about 7 yards down the field. Every referee in America is going to call offensive pass interference there. Now, this is your Pro Bowler. I mean, this is where he's supposed to get vertical. He's supposed to give you a little something at the top of the route. Understand down and distance. Break to the outside. Easy first down. Let's go. Mistakes. Penalties. Boneheaded plays. Shooting ourselves in the foot. Now, this wasn't one of our young guys. This is supposed to be somebody that we depend upon. A little bit later in the second quarter. It's a 14-0 game. We hit the big play to Desmond Briscoe for the 46-yard play. We have the ball on the New Orleans 23-yard line, and it's 3rd-and-4. We bring in Josh Johnson. Now, understand, I'm not a guy that overreacts to things when they happen, because I understand that this package has produced some big first-down pickups. You think about the Indianapolis Colts game on Monday Night Football. Josh came in, had a big third-down conversion. But Greg Olsen, listen, you have to break some tendencies. People have figured out when Josh Johnson comes in, that's what they're going to do. Let him throw the football. I mean, make that package a little more versatile so teams can't just go ahead and scheme for it, or leave Freeman on the field. I mean, it's a 1:44 before the half. We got 3rd-and-4. We're down 2 touchdowns. I mean, I don't know what we're doing right now. I don't know what we're doing on a whole lot of different levels, but it doesn't make any sense.
And let me just add to that point right there. They had picked up, I believe, 4 yards on the first down there. They had 2nd and 6 with about 1:50 left. Right there in that situation, you're about at the 25-yard line, give or take. You've got to run the ball on 2nd and 6 because if you do not get a touchdown on that drive, you're going to leave about 1.5 minutes on the clock for the New Orleans Saints. I'm sitting there during the game saying this, not afterwards, not Monday morning quarterbacking. I'm saying you've got to run the ball here, melt some of the clock, or force the Saints to use a timeout. Instead, incomplete pass. Or they got picked up a couple yards, but it was an incomplete. The clock stopped. Then you've got the 3rd and 4 situation, and you get stuffed. You have to kick the field goal. Well, then it's all a wash after that because you leave 1:45 left for one of the more dynamic offenses in the NFL that you've shown a complete inability to stop. They go out, they
drive
kick
down the field.
They drive down the field.
Yeah.
The Bucs are fortunate they don't get a touchdown. They get a field goal, and then your field goal is a wash there. Just, I don't get the play calling. You saw it early in the game when LeGarrette Blount could run the ball. And then you see LeBlount come off the field. I mean, mix this guy into the game more often. You said it, Sean. He is the most dynamic player on the Bucs team. You saw it early in the game, and then he disappears because of the play calling. He disappears, and then Ben disappears. This is the guy in the deepest draft in the last decade that you spent one of the top picks in the 2nd round on. You can't get him on the field? I got a problem with that.
We get to the halftime. It's a 17-3 ball game. Okay, now we've found a way, some way this season to fight back in the 2nd half. We come out. Saints get the ball first. Rondae Barber makes an unbelievable play. He's on a blitz, but he's supposed to peel on this blitz if the running back releases. He sees Sproles release. He peels, does a great job, catches the football. We have the ball 1st and 10 at the New Orleans 33. Now, 2 plays from now, LeGarrette Blount is going to lose his mind. Like, when you get an opportunity to come back from what you did after the Boise State game, like the fact that you would even remotely find it anywhere to throw another punch in a football game, like, just baffles me completely. Like, I'm telling you, like, to the point where I would ship LeGarrette Blount off. I would trade him. Like that. Like, that's how much that baffles me. I mean, you're talking about a guy who basically people thought was done with football because he knocked somebody out after the game. And for you to throw another punch in a lot, like, that's just, like, there's no part of me. And you know I always take up for the player. You know I'm always on that side. Like, that, I could not in a 10,000 years fathom LeGarrette doing that. But what people will not talk about is our bell cow. What's supposed to be our blue chip player, Josh Freeman? On the play before, we get the perfect play call. Everybody talks about Greg Olsen. He doesn't call the right plays. Well, how about this? We're 1st and 10 at the New Orleans 22-yard line. They've been playing us a lot of man coverage. Craig Lumpkin's in the game. We get Craig Lumpkin matched up on the backer. He runs a little wheel route, and, I mean, he is all alone. I mean, absolutely all alone. It's a 17-3 game. All Freeman has to do is throw a catchable football. It's going to be 17-10, whole new ball game. So what does Josh do? Josh throws the ball about 6 feet over Lumpkin's head. I thought Tim Tebow had flown to New Orleans and was masquerading as a right-handed quarterback for the Bucs.
Aaron Rodgers hits that pass 100 out of 100 times.
And if you're going to be elite, if you're going to be average, you can't miss those throws. So now instead of 17-10, 17-6, we have to settle for a field goal. That's what happens. Move a little bit deeper into the 3rd quarter. 2nd to last play of the 3rd quarter, we have a 3rd and 1 from the New Orleans 33-yard line. We really get the same thing, but this time it's to Eric Loring. Eric Loring gets matched up 1-on-1, runs a little wheel route, and I mean, he is wide open. So what does Josh Freeman do again? Josh Freeman decides, I'm going to throw the ball 6 feet over his head again. Now, this is supposed to be our blue chip, our elite player. If you want to be a successful team in the National Football League, if you want to be an elite quarterback, you do not miss those kinds of throws. I mean, this is 14 points that's taken off the board, and he wasn't under pressure. I told you guys since the beginning of the year that the best unit on our whole team was our offensive line, and all you guys laughed at me and told me I didn't know what I was talking about. Called me now. Tell me our offensive line ain't balling. He's got all day to throw the ball. Anytime we want to run the ball and commit to it, we run the ball. And I know you guys are going to rag on Olsen, and I didn't like the third and fourth call either with Josh Johnson. But at the same time, he's drawing up two perfect calls in the perfect situation. Josh Freeman has to execute it. And it's not the first time that he's missed wide open guys this year. It's a quarterback league. You know, he spends so much time, like he's so immature emotionally during the course of a ball game. It's unbelievable. Like, do you ever see Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady running down the field at defensive linemen from the Saints? I mean, when there's an incompletion, how many times is Josh going to throw a hissy fit? Grab the back of his chin strap and throw him down and, you know, go to point with his hand like what he wants his wide receiver to do? That's counterproductive. What other elite quarterback in the National Football League does that? As a professional, this is how you handle that situation. You wait till you get in the huddle where nobody can see. Hey, Winslow, next time we get that man-to-man, I need you to get to 14. And then you call the play and you break the huddle. You wait till you get to the sideline and you actually get pictures, snapshots of what just happened. You sit down with all your wide receivers. Listen, on third and short, they're giving us this coverage. Aurelius, I need you to make sure you outside release on that safety. That's how you handle that kind of stuff. You don't do it right after the play, walking up into the Saints huddle, yelling at one of your wide receivers. That is counterproductive. That doesn't get anything done.
Especially when you're just as culpable as everybody else. Not like he's out there making plays.
Like, I don't know what's going on, but this is so difficult to watch.
It's awful, man.
It's difficult to watch. And I said it from the very beginning, the makeup and the structure of this football team would not allow them to come through adversity. I saw a guy in Josh Freeman yesterday who listens to the criticism. I saw a guy who played tentative, who said, I'm not going to make any mistakes, I'm not going to take any chances, and that's what he played like. And we will not win if that's how he approaches the game. Because there's some other guys on the team I'm not going to even get on because I don't think they're that good. When you got guys and they're not that good, why am I going to criticize them for not playing well? I don't think they're that good. I think Josh Freeman has the ability to be that good. Now, with that comes a lot of responsibility. We should be winning games because of Josh Freeman.
We need to get back on this Mark Domenech thing. How do you go into a football game with that defensive tackle rotation? We're going to hit a break right now, but when we come back, we got to get into that. We got to talk about the blown money on Gerald McCoy. Talk about the blown money on Quincy Black.
Yeah. You going to bench Geno Hayes and track Quincy Black out there? Like, somebody, you know what? Domenech should go on the show and explain, like, when they decided, okay, what kind of contract we're going to offer Quincy Black. What was it, the 61 tackles and 2 sacks from a year ago?
5 years, $29 million, 11 guaranteed. Darren Sproles was about a quarter of that.
4 years, $14 million, only $6 million guaranteed.
Oh, my God.
I got to say this before we go to break. Raheem Morris, coach, just hang in there, man. I know it's tough, bro. They want you to make lemonade, and they ain't give you any lemons or sugar. We'll be back in a second. Keep it locked.
Goes the dynamite. 1010 CBS Sports Radio.